I want to welcome back Sean Patel, who's the CEO and founder of Prep Expert. Sean, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, John. Just wanted to do a quick shout out for an amazing deal that we have for college admissions process podcast listeners. We're offering 30% off all Prep Expert SAT and ACT courses and tutoring. It's live online. We've got the best score improvement guarantees in the industry. You'll get taught by 99th percentile instructors. And you can save 30% off when you go to the show notes of the College Admissions Process podcast. Grab your discount code for 30% off and click the link in the show notes.
Thank you, Sean. So great to have you again. And to everyone out there, please note that if you make a purchase through any of our affiliate links, the podcast gets a commission. But rest assured that we would only promote products that we believe in and feel would benefit our listeners. Thank you all and best wishes. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Erica Woods, who's the Senior Associate Director in the Office of Undergraduate Admission at Villanova University. Erica, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so glad to have Villanova and you represented. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're equally excited to have you, as I know so many students want to apply to Villanova. So let's get right to it. But first, Erica, give us a brief introduction about yourself. How long have you been in admissions and how did you end up in such a position?
It's wild. I've been in admissions for about 15 years, which is crazy to say. But so I actually, like many people, fell into admissions. It wasn't something that I was thinking about necessarily. But when I graduated college back in 2009, which is an interesting time to graduate, I will say, the job market wasn't exactly what I think most people thought it was going to be in 2009. So I was just happy to have any job at that point. But I luckily landed an internship at my alma mater, where they have an internship opportunity within the undergraduate admissions office, and that elevated into a full-time position. So, and that ended up changing the trajectory of my life, actually. So I started at my alma mater, stayed there for a few years, and then I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Absolutely. And Villanova is obviously so lucky to have you, as are we, on this podcast episode. So, Erica, what is it about Villanova University that you love, and what sets it apart from other colleges and universities?
So in order for me to answer that, I do have to talk a little bit about the history, but I promise you the history is very relevant to everything that I'm talking about later. So Villanova was founded back in 1842 under the Order of St. Augustine. And if you have no idea about who St. Augustine is, he was really revered as the father of modern thought. He's someone that really took to teachings and has written over 33,000 pages, actually, worth of writing. I don't know who's counting that, but that's apparently how much he wrote. And St. Augustine was always someone that was big on community. When he was approached by the Pope to be Bishop of Hippo, he was actually asked three different times. And he said no, but the third time he said yes, as long as he can live and learn amongst a community of friends. So to answer your question, John, that's a really long answer to say that my favorite thing about Villanova is truly that community. I think that that's really what makes us special, is that we are living and learning amongst friends. Villanova is the kind of place that really cares about who you are outside of just the work that you're producing. Inside of our school seal, actually, are three Latin words, which are veritas, unitas, caritas, which translates to truth, unity, and love. And that's the best way to kind of sum up Villanova and who we are as a community. That unity piece is built right in there with unitas in the middle. So veritas, which is for truth, that was something that St. Augustine was really big on. He wanted to seek the meaning of life, why we're here, what's important to us. So that is the academic philosophy at Villanova, is that you are seeking your truth about who you are, who you hope to be, because we want you to become what you are not yet, which is another St. Augustine quote. as I mentioned before, that community piece is huge for us. We're really big on community and making sure that everyone has a home at Villanova, because Villanova does mean new home. So we want this to be a home for students of all backgrounds. Don't know if you know this, but Villanova was actually founded to educate the children of Irish immigrants because they were being discriminated against within the city of Philadelphia. So we were founded to educate marginalized identities. And while the identities may have shifted, that is still Villanova's mission, to have a home for students of all genders, all sexualities, all races, all religions. Everyone should have a home at Nova. And lastly, of course, is Caritas, which is love. We believe in leading first with love and kindness. So that's why I think Villanova is great and why I think it's really special to me.
Well, it is great and special, not only to you, but to so many people. I love how you talked about Villanova cares about who you are, but also who you will become. You talk about veritas, unitas, and caritas, which you explained beautifully, truth, unity, and love. And that's all part of this great thing that we call the Villanova University community. And I love how you emphasize community. And I have to mention that I recently read that your retention rate is an incredible 96%. That means of all the freshmen, the percentage that return for that second year is at 96% at Villanova University. National average, of course, is around 70%. So what's the secret to fostering a collaborative and engaging learning environment within your classrooms and beyond?
I think what you mentioned previously, that community, making sure that every student from the beginning feels like this is their home. We really do promise you individualized attention while you're here. And that honestly starts in the first year, because that first year is so important. I'll give you an example of one of our traditions that might help to illuminate what I'm speaking about. We have something called house calls. And that happens right around the third week of the freshman year. And it's only for our first year students. And that is where our faculty and staff, they break up into small groups and go door to door to every single residence hall room of a first year student and just check up on them and see how they're doing. That third week is when reality sets in for a lot of freshmen. You know, that's when they start missing home a little bit. That's when the laundry starts to pile up, you know, things like that start to happen around that third week. So that's a great time for the faculty and the staff just to knock on the door and say, hey, how's it going? How can we be of service? And one of my favorite stories that comes from house calls, if I may, it happened several years ago, and we're doing our house calls, walking around, knocking on doors, and the student answered, and he said he was having a great time. However, he kept hearing about the fact that we are an Augustinian university. We're the only Augustinian university. We have a sister college in Merrimack. That's our sister college, but we're the only Augustinian university. So he kept hearing about that piece, but he hadn't met any of the Augustinians yet, which was like, oh my goodness, duh, like obviously maybe you should meet them. So we told the powers that be, and the very next day, Father Peter Donahue, who is our university president and an Augustinian, came to the student's door. And I love this story because the president of the university heard about this and said, who better than me to go and speak to a first year student about what it's like to be an Augustinian and why the Augustinian values are so important. And our president actually does have office hours for students. We believe that we believe that everyone is on the same level. We just have different roles. And I think that's part of what helps to contribute to that retention rate is the students know that from the moment they step foot on campus, that their voice matters, that they're part of a community, and that they have value on our campus.
Well, that's terrific. I love the Villanova values. You talked about fostering that sense of home. all that individualized attention. Those house calls around that third week are phenomenal. Of course, it's because of laundry that's piling up. Maybe they're running out of money and mom and dad aren't sending
that
any.
That part too.
And you know, your president, not only that he paid a visit, but also that he has office hours is just tremendous. I really appreciate that overview. So Erica, of course, the application review process is something that is so important to the students and their families. Can you walk us through Villanova's application review process, and what can you tell us about the key components that you prioritize?
Absolutely. So goes back to those Latin words you just talked about. I hope there's Latin scholars listening that, you know, this is really hitting them at home. So we look at the application holistically through that same lens of truth, unity, and love. I always like to emphasize that it's holistic and there are human people reading every single file. We don't have algorithms or anything that are reviewing the files for us. It's human people like myself that are reviewing every file, and we look at it through veritas, unitas, caritas, that truth element of the application, that is going to be all the academic truths of a student. And every student is evaluated within the context of opportunity, even with the academic component. So that'll be the grades, the curriculum, and of course, the option for testing. Now, with the grades, a question I always get is, okay, well, what's the GPA I have to get in, right? And that's not a bad question. However, not all 4.0s are created equally. There's a million ways to calculate a GPA. So again, that context of the high school is super important. And our counselors are charged with understanding the way that each individual high school does their grading scale. So we evaluate every student's grades within the context of however that school does their grades. So typically, that's what I tell students is whatever your school counts as an A, we will count it as an A. The next piece of that is going to be rigor. We always want to see that students are challenging themselves relative to what's available at their high school. So if the school offers APs, honors, IB courses, we expect to see those on the file. However, if the school doesn't offer AP or IB, or they have maybe a single AP course, we will always keep that in mind when evaluating a student. You cannot take what's not available to you. We are truly test optional. So if a student wants to submit whether the ACT or the SAT, it is your choice and your choice alone. It's not a disadvantage if you choose to submit or not. We're not asking questions about why you chose to submit. It is truly your choice, and we do accept either ACT or SAT and have no preference for the test. That's the veritas section. Okay, so that's where all the truths come in. The unitas part of the file, that community piece. One thing that we look for in applicants and students that we know are successful on our campus is how well they are engaged within their local community. So we want to see students who are already want to be in community, want to be a part of a community, and we look at that through how involved is the student. So whatever the student loves to do, we ask that you do that thing and do it consistently. Sports, music, theater, and dance. That was my jam in high school. I was really big into dance and theater. Maybe do community service work. Villanovans, we're really big on service. We actually have the largest student-run Special Olympics in the world. Just want to drop that little fun fact in there. That's while awesome. I have this opportunity. We love service. We love giving back to our communities. So we like to see students that are engaged in that way. We also understand that some students have significant home responsibilities that might go above and beyond the expectations of a high school student. So we also want to make room for that as well. So we see students who maybe their parents don't speak English, so they have to go home every day to be the translator for their family and handle the bills and medical things. Sometimes we see students who have to work 30 hours a week because they're helping to pay for the rent in the home. Or there's some students where their parents might be working really late hours and it's their responsibility to pick up their younger brother and get him home every day and make him dinner and things like that. So if a student has really significant home responsibilities that go above and beyond your typical chores, you know what I mean? We do take special consideration for that. And if that's the reason why they're not doing sports and clubs after school, that still counts in our eyes. If you're in charge of something that major, please, we love to see it. And we want you to tell us that because that's still very significant and important. So that's your Unity Caritas, which I know one of the questions, if I'm jumping ahead a little bit, probably is going to be, how can I stand out? Caritas, that is where the student can stand out. Because that question, I always get it. So I'm anticipating. How can a student stand out is the Caritas piece. This is where we look at who you are as a student. You could think of Veritas as what you know, Unitas as what you do, and Caritas is who you are. And we're looking at that through your letter of recommendation and through the essays. Really what we're looking to see is how well do you reflect the values of the Villanova community. So many of the things that I've been speaking about this entire time, engaging in a local community, a heart and mind to serve others, celebration of difference and diversity, demonstrated kindness. We look at that, like, do you demonstrate kindness? Is it easy for you to lead first with love and kindness? Those are the sorts of things that we value. And the essay questions do touch on many of those topics. So if we start to pick up on those characteristics in an application, that's what truly can take a student from being a fantastic student to a fantastic Villanovan.
Well, I appreciate that. And there's so much that you touched upon that I do want to unpackage a little bit more. So I'm hearing a theme here, right? You're talking about truth, unity, and love, which is essential, right, in understanding the mission of Villanova University. So I'm wondering, you touched upon the essays. If a student can talk about those virtues and how it's important to them and how it's important to the University of Villanova's mission, and if they could express what they've done to show their truth, their unity, their love, but also how they're going to use those once they're on your campus, demonstrating their understanding of Villanova. If they could put all of that in an essay, would that help them to stand out?
Absolutely. And I know that's difficult, especially because the Why Villanova essay is only 150 words. So do all of that in 150 words. No, but right. I understand that we're asking for a lot. So, so yes, I would say that's definitely where our strongest students and our most competitive students do stand out. It is absolutely in those essays. We love to hear the student voice. Because if you think about it, that's the only place in an application where a student has voice is in their essays, right. Especially because we don't do interviews. So as much as the student can really show that they have a strong understanding of the mission, of the values of our community, and how well they will fit in and relate to that's the best way that a student can really show us that they are a good fit and that they would be a competitive applicant.
I appreciate that because you're right. By the time they're applying, the transcript is pretty much done. The activity sheet is done. But that essay is that one opportunity, students, for you to demonstrate your understanding, in this case, of Villanova University. And so why Villanova? If you're able to articulate what they stand for, their mission, their values, and you could talk about what you've done, but also what you intend to contribute once you're on their campus. If you could do that, that's definitely something that will help you stand out, as Erica mentioned. Now, you also talked about the GPA and that not all 4.0s are created equal, right? You said something like that, which I agree with. So as a quick follow-up, I was just curious, when you're looking at a student's GPA, and I know that you do it within the context of their school, but do you recalculate to level the playing field, if you will, when you're reviewing those GPAs?
So we do not across the board recalculate all GPAs. If a GPA is not given, because there are some schools that do not give a GPA, then we will, of course, use that to our discretion. However, I think students focus too heavily on just that one number. And really what we're looking for are overall trends. Like, do you have more A's than anything else on the transcript? That is really what's more important, is that you have mostly A's in rigorous curriculum. That's really the more important thing than thinking about what is that fancy number that I have to have at the bottom of my transcript. And also, of course, there are schools that we know that actually don't even give grades at all. So that's okay. We still review those within context as well. So for anyone listening that's like, my school doesn't give grades, that's okay. I still read all the things that you send, so don't worry.
Well, we appreciate that. And you also talked about the fact that you truly are test optional. And I quote, Villanova University is truly test optional. So can you share the percentage of students that were actually accepted that didn't submit their test scores? And as yet another follow-up, I know you're truly test optional, but what about some of your more competitive majors, for example, nursing or engineering? Do you have to submit for any of those majors?
Sure. So we're still calculating for this current cycle, but I can tell you last year's number, 50%, which is funny that it ended up being 50%, 50% of last year's applicants were admitted that did not have test scores. It's truly, and it was not intentional. It's again, 50% of them that were admitted did not submit scores. So it's truly test optional in that regard. And that includes all of our majors. So whether it's business, engineering, nursing, it really doesn't matter which school or college or major that you're applying to. You'll be considered for all academic programs, scholarships, the honors program, everything exactly the same if you submit a score or not.
Well, we appreciate that clarification. Thank you so much. And Erica, what advice would you give to prospective students to make their applications stand out in the selection process? And are there any common mistakes or misconceptions that you see regularly from applicants and, of course, that they should be aware of?
And I know this will sound very after school special. Do they still do after school specials, or am I dating myself?
I think you're dating yourself, but I used to love them myself. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Kids, Google after school special. You'll figure out what we're talking about. But the after school special message is to be yourself. I think that is really the best way to stand out to not just Villanova, but to any school, especially if you're doing the research ahead of time and you know this is your good fit for this institution, then you being you is what's going to jump off the page at us. We love to learn about who you are as a person. And I think that students really try so hard to be someone they're not, or they, you know, rely on someone else to tell them what to say or do. I think that that's a common mistake that I see. Also, particularly with the Why Villanova essay, again, it's really short. It's only 150 words. So it's essay is kind of a misnomer. It's more like a paragraph, you know? And it's really an opportunity for you to continue to talk about you and how well you relate to us. Sometimes students, they look at it as, I'm just going to tell Villanova how great they are. And, you know, it's great. Like, I like hearing how great we are, but I don't need you to tell me that we're great. I want to know, why do you feel you'd be a good fit? What about us attracts you to our institution? That is really what I'm looking to see, and not just, oh, Villanova's so wonderful, you know? So I would say that that would be a common thing that I see, is anytime that a student waste their space talking about something other than themselves, because every part of that application should talk about you and give us another picture of who you are as a whole person.
Well, I think that's great. And yes, you already know that Villanova is an amazing place, right? So students, you really should be focusing on, why do you feel you'd be a great fit there? That's what you should be writing about. And of course, what is it about Villanova University that is so appealing to you? So if you could, again, capture that in that Why Villanova essay, it's certainly going to help you with the overall process. Now, Erica, we all know that the overall number of applications schools are receiving are certainly on the rise. With an increase, how do you determine how many students to accept or even deny, right, or waitlist, when you don't necessarily know how many of the students that you accept are definitely coming?
So I always make this joke when it comes to our industry, that our entire industry is predicated on the decisions of 17 and 18 year olds. So who, you know, we love them to death, but are not always the most decisive of people. So to that end, how we make those decisions, you'd be surprised to know how much math and statistics goes on behind the scenes. We actually do have people who are charged with examining the data. One thing about our admissions is we are a very data-driven institution. So we will look back at trends from the last, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years to see if we went out with this many students, how many would yield. And we also even get to the nitty gritty, like students from this state, students from this area. You know, we even started adding like test optional in there. Does that impact whether or not a student will yield? There's a lot of statisticians behind the scenes that are doing this work. They're more math people than I am, very much a liberal arts major here. So they're way more math oriented than I could ever be. And they sort of, you get me. But yeah, so they help us out quite a bit in helping us to figure out what is that number. Sometimes it works. Sometimes there's things that happen that impact it. So things like if we win a national championship in the middle of March, that's going to impact whether or not students are yielding. And that's not something that we can predict. So sometimes the models work really well. Sometimes they need to be tweaked a little bit. But by and large, everything that we do, we're making those decisions, is going to be data driven.
Well, we appreciate that. And Erica, I know that you receive applications from hundreds of high schools, if not thousands, throughout the country and beyond. When reviewing applications from so many different high schools, how do you take into account when one school might offer all of the APs or IB courses imaginable, while another school may only offer a small fraction of those offerings? How does the application review process vary for students from these different high schools? And basically, what I want to know is anybody at a disadvantage?
That's a question I get all the time. Parents will ask, they'll come to us in the eighth grade and say, what high school should I send my student to? And, and my answer is wherever they learn best, you know? So that's truly the response. I think students think that we want students from a specific type of high school, when the reality is we want the best students from every high school. That's really what we're looking for. And this is where the professionalism and the expertise of the territory counselors comes into play. So just for context, if you're hearing me, you probably have heard my voice before. If you live in New York City, Long Island, New York, or Philadelphia or Louisiana, because that is my territory. So what that means is I am charged with keeping up to date with the schools within my area. It's my responsibility to understand the differences between this school and that school, what their grading scales are like. If students commonly take AP classes, because there might be some schools where they offer a ton of AP, but they're limited to only taking 2 a year. We take all of these things into account when we're evaluating a student. And that is why it's so important for us to review our territory applications so that we can give that context to say, oh, by the way, this school doesn't offer any IB courses, or this school just got AP classes last year, or that school doesn't weight their GPAs. We look at all of that when we're evaluating. So I hope that students don't worry, like, oh my goodness, my school doesn't weight their GPAs. They're going to think that I'm not as strong. Do not worry. That is a question that we do ask. I don't know if many of you know, but all of your high schools will receive something called the secondary school report. And that is the opportunity for the counselor to give us those updates. It was very important during COVID because it allowed the counselor to tell us, hey, this is what we did for COVID. This is how we pivoted. I even had some schools where the seniors weren't even able to pick their senior classes because COVID, they just had to give them classes. So I just hope that you all know we do truly look at every single student, and we will adjust our process to accommodate every single individual student's context of opportunity.
Well, I'm glad I asked that question, and I really appreciate that answer, because it's very important, again, for students and their parents to understand that you are evaluating based on the context of the high school that they are attending. My recommendation to the students and parents also is for them to review their school profiles. It's something that gets sent to every admissions rep. In addition to visiting the schools, as Erica explained beautifully, and they talk to the school counselors, they do have something called a school profile so that they really know how many AP courses your school offers, what is the general grade distribution, are there any restrictions, waiting, unwaiting, whatever. Those are things that you use, again, to evaluate each student based on the context of their high school. So we appreciate that insight. So speaking of students, what support does Villanova University offer its students to ensure that they continue to be successful once they're on your campus? And I ask this question, of course, for students that might have had an IEP or a 504 plan in high school, but also for all of your students that come to the great Villanova University.
Yeah, and I know we've spoken extensively about the individualized attention students get within our community, and this is where we truly do shine. We want students to know that we see them as individual, but also that they have value within our general community, and they should feel part of us as a whole. So of course, for students that have IEPs, 504 plans, or any who have any sort of learning difference or need accommodations, we do have an office that helps to set all of those things up and to make sure that you have what you need. And actually, one thing that I recently learned about this office is a really big pinch point for a lot of students with special needs is having to go to each individual professor every single semester and say, hey, I have this plan. Hey, I need this accommodation. So Villanova has taken upon ourselves to do that legwork for students in advance. So our Office of Disabilities actually will reach out to the professors on your behalf and let them know, hey, this student needs this accommodation, which will alleviate at least one little pinch point so that when the student comes in, they're just like any other student. They can come in and sit down and know that their needs will be taken care of. Outside of that, I know that mental health is a huge conversation, particularly since COVID, and it should be because that was a really traumatic and serious time for a lot of students and a lot of people all over the world. So we're always keeping our mental health services top of mind, and many students have been advocating for additional things. Students will have access to counselors through what we call CAPS, as Counseling and Psychological Services at Villanova, and it's a great opportunity for students to have individualized counseling, whether it's grief therapy, things need someone to talk to for anxiety or depression. They also sponsor a number of large scale things like how to tell if a friend is depressed or what to do if your friend is showing signs of depression, things of that nature. They also, of course, have the therapy dogs. And there's also massage chairs as well that you can rent. So, you know, that's always a plus, right? Who doesn't want to sit in a massage chair for a little bit? So those are the things that we do offer to help and support our students with their mental health as well. There's also a number of supports specifically for students with marginalized identity. Again, keeping with our foundings that we were founded to educate the marginalized, Villanova is very mission-driven in that way. So we offer the Center for Access, Success, and Achievement. CASA is the acronym. And that office specializes in students that are first generation to college, students who are highly aided or from low income backgrounds, and also for students who are from minoritized racial identities as well. There's also a number of supports for students who might be queer or LGBTQ identifying through our VU Pride. They offer a number of supports for students as well based on that identity. So it really just depends on what it is that you need, Villanova will find it for you. And that's honestly one of my favorite things about the community is you can walk up to anyone and ask for help with something. And they, if they don't know, they will find someone that does. I've personally done that myself. So I can tell you that that does work.
Well, that's awesome. And I believe it. I believe that sense of community. And again, going back to what we said earlier, that's why you have a 96% retention rate, which again is is a testament to the great work that you do in admissions to get the right students in your Villanova University community, but also the work that you do to keep them happy and keeping them wanting to come back year after year. So I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions in the show notes. Erica, if you have any other links that you want to share with the students and their parents, obviously just give them to me and I'll gladly put them in the show notes. Now, before we get to the last question, I have to ask, is there a question that I didn't ask today or a topic that I didn't bring up that you'd like to talk to us about now?
Yes. Tickets are free to all the games to all students.
That's great.
that's an important question to ask.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Only the students, though. Sorry, parents. I can't get you free tickets, but tickets are free to all the games for all students.
That is awesome. And you guys have a rich tradition of athletics. So just another big piece of your amazing community. So this has been a phenomenal conversation, Erica. Unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide a student and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Oh, I have so many things, but I'll keep it to three, I promise. I think the first would be that we're on your side. So get to know your admissions counselor, get to know who the rep is for your area. Most of us do list those things on our website. So you should know who that person is to reach out to for questions. Now, Villanova does not consider demonstrated interest. So, you know, if you email me all the time and things like that, that's not necessarily going to be a factor in your application. However, I do want to be available to you if you have questions. And that's me and anyone else that sits on my side of the desk. We want to be there to help and support you. So please contact us. I would also tell students to think outside the box when it comes to selecting a college. A lot of times students have in their mind, this is my one dream school. And sometimes they don't even know why that's their dream school. You know, maybe they grew up watching Villanova basketball or whatever it might be. But keep an open mind when it comes to your college fit, because what's a good fit for you may not be a good fit for someone else, your cousin, your brother, your mother, your father. So I would say keep an open mind when you're thinking about your college, because you can always create your dream school as long as you choose a college that's a good fit for you. And of course, fit is academic fit, social fit, and financial fit. So keep those things in mind. And lastly, I would say, I do want to talk about the sad part where people always ask me about what happens if I don't get in. Because that's a big fear that I know a lot of students have. And as someone who also got denied from some schools when she applied, let me tell you, I can personally understand how devastating that can be. If for whatever reason you are not admitted to your dream school, your top school, any school, please understand that it's likely not something that you did wrong. Do not take that personally. A lot of times, parents too will get these emails like, what did my child do wrong? What can be done differently? There are so many factors, so many things that we have to keep in mind when we're reviewing an application. And most of the time, we as your admissions counselors, we want to admit you. We're the Office of Admission, not the Office of Rejection. We want to admit you, okay? So we're advocating for you. We want you to be on our campuses, but we can only admit so many people. And every year it hurts us to send out those deny letters. So please understand, if the worst thing happens and you're not admitted to a college, I just hope that everyone that's listening knows to not take it personally. Please don't think it was something that you did wrong. Please do not think that somehow you have a deficit. That is not the case. And all that does is open up new opportunities for you to be at an amazing institution that is the best fit for you. And hopefully that institution, of course, will be your dream school in the end.
Well, those are great pieces of advice. Number one, you talked about the fact that admissions counselors, students, and parents, they are on your side. So certainly get to know them, whether it's a high school visit, a college campus visit, or a virtual fair. Now, you also mentioned that you don't track demonstrated interest in your process, but demonstrating your interest, students, is a very important thing for you to do regardless. First of all, you get to know the admissions rep, but perhaps equally as important is the fact that you're doing your research on the college. So if there is that, you know, why Villanova supplemental essay, you'll be better equipped, having understood everything about the university that you're researching, to answer those supplemental questions. Be mindful of looking at fit. You talked about what's good for someone else is not necessarily the right fit for you, and vice versa. And lastly, I love the fact that you brought up that sad question, well, what if I don't get in? And I really appreciate what you said, because a lot of parents and students might reach out to you to say, what did I do wrong? And, you know, was it that B plus in 10th grade? Was it my essay? Was it whatever? And sometimes it comes down to institutional priorities, right? Every single institution, for example, in terms of their priorities, there's a number in terms of how many students they want to actually attend their school, right? It's the enrollment number. For example, Erica, do you know offhand how many students in your incoming freshman class?
Yeah, so our freshman class is around 1,700 students.
Okay, so a freshman class of 1,700 students. And can you tell us approximately in this last cycle, how many applications did you receive?
Yeah, just slightly under 24,000, so about 23,700.
Okay, so approximately 23,700 applications for an incoming class of 1,700. And I point this out to the students and the parents because not everyone can be accepted, right? A school like Villanova, the institutional priority is to keep the freshman class at around 1,700. They get just shy of 24,000 applications. I guarantee you that the first 30%, right, that unfortunately did not get an acceptance letter, their profiles are probably identical, if not very similar, to the students that are accepted. So I point this out just because I want the parents and the students to understand that there are institutional priorities, and sometimes it has nothing to do with you. It just has to do with the fact, for example, here we're talking about an incoming class of 1,700, which is shy of 24,000 applications. So, Erica, I can't thank you enough. I'm so glad that I had you and Villanova on the podcast, as I know that this is going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate through the process. I hope to have you again. You were awesome.
Yes,
thank you,
thank
Erica.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I could be helpful.
You were very helpful. And one last thing to say to everyone out there, good luck with the college search. Take care, everyone, and best wishes. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Hey, podcast friends, are you or someone you know in need of some custom college gear? Prep Sportswear carries a wide variety of college fan gear and apparel, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, hats, and so much more. So whether you're getting ready to go to the game, hanging out on campus, organizing a college bed decorating party, or you're simply looking to build upon your college gear, Prep Sportswear has you covered. Check out our Prep Sportswear affiliate partnership link in the show notes for all the details. Please note that if you make a purchase through any of our affiliate links, the podcast gets a commission, but rest assured that we would only promote products that we believe in and feel would benefit our listeners. Thank you all, and best wishes.